This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
One pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
Cut on every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you yawn and grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Hey, very good Tuesday morning to you and yours. It is January the 25th, 2022. I'm Dave Rothenberg. He's Rick DiPietro. Rick, I haven't spoken to you, but I received a couple of tweets yesterday. Sounds like you had, and I'm saying this as a friend, not as someone mocking you. That's not what I do. Sounds like you had quite the afternoon yesterday.
Yeah, rough start. We had a rough start. Did not come out and put our best foot forward there in the first period. But we rebounded.
What was the final?
We fought back. We're down five early.
Oof.
Five real early. Was not a big fan of the referee, but that's a different story for a different time. And then got our stuff together in the second. Only gave up two more the rest of the game.
Okay, so seven for them and you guys.
7-3. 7-3.
All right. So you did fight back.
Yeah, we fought back.
Yeah. But there's got to be nothing worse than... I mean, the game was in Albany, right?
Albany. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that's a good 3+ hours for you?
Solid. Solid three.
So, I got to be honest. I don't know how you do it. I don't. I mean, after the show, you now have to get in. Did you drive yourself or you went on a bus?
I drove myself. Me and Stevie.
So you're driving three. Now, I imagine he drove, right?
No.
You drove?
I drove, yep.
How are you managing this?
I'm a masochist. A giant Dunkachino. Had a ginormous Dunkachino.
Here's what's going to happen. We're going to get to... They should play every time coming back from break, like whatever country music you want. Like, I left my wife in a bar. Right? I had too many beers to know who my girlfriend was. Like, whatever it takes today, I'm here for it.
Cold beer calling my name, whatever it is. Yeah, get me going.
You wake up... You sleep like 3 hours, then you do the show, you drive 3+ hours, you coach a game, which you can't have been happy about, you drive 3+ hours back, then you spend time with your family. I mean, this is no way to exist.
And watch the Knicks when I got home. Yeah, it was great.
Oh, good. Great.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
By the way, I told you. You have to have this like come to Jesus moment. Realize what they are, and it's not nearly as painful.
See, I can't get where you're at. I can't. I tried. I can't do it.
So every you watched the game last night, and you're watching Julius Randle just hoist up shots and fadeaway jumpers from 18 feet and this ridiculous shot at the end of the game and passing it over to R.J. Barrett in the final seconds, and that, like, it still pains you, huh?
Still pains me. Yeah, it still pains because I invest my time, Dave. I'm investing the time. So with that time comes the emotion, unfortunately. I'm a complicated person, Dave. I can't just turn it off. I can't just turn it off.
It sounds like it. So how? I mean, now tomorrow night they're in Miami. I mean, it gets no easier. And then I think they have Milwaukee. At what point are you like, you know what? I'm just going to get to a baseline of if and when they lose, I'm going to be able to tolerate it, not get myself crazy.
Well, here's the decision they have to make. I mean, you as a fan have to make. I haven't made that decision yet. Is because I'm sure we'll take phone calls today. You know, I want to see more Obi Toppin. I want to see more, you know, IQ and Quentin Grimes. I want to see why the hell is Deuce McBride not playing. So, I mean, if that's the case, if that's what you want, then just know that this team probably isn't even going to qualify for the play-in. If that happens, all that, everything that you built last year being the 4th seed, trying to take that next step is gone, if that's what you want.
Well, I think taking the next step is gone anyway, no?
Well, yeah, I don't think they're going to win a playoff series. They may not even, you know, get to a legitimate playoff series. But if you're now, as a fan, committed to, I want to see the young guys play, then you're committed to this team most likely isn't going to be a top 10 seed. That's what you're committing to. It is.
I think that's very realistic, isn't it? Listen, they might go all in and not be a top 10 seed.
Well, if that's the case, then, I mean, we got bigger problems. I mean, if Leon Rose makes moves here and we still can't get into the top 10, then we got to start questioning what the hell Leon Rose is doing.
But am I wrong? I mean, they're not top 10 now. If I said to you, who's better, Atlanta or the Knicks, what's your answer?
Atlanta.
All right, they're behind the Knicks and can still catch them. I had this moment, and I'm putting it to practice. I'm not going to let this franchise tear me apart anymore. I mean, watching Julius Randle night after night after night and his antics and watching him play, like, as great as he was last year, and as much as we sat here and apologized and we were wrong and we're sorry and that's our fault and how could we have ever thought that you weren't capable, he has reverted exactly back to the player that you got so frustrated and upset and angry about the year prior from that.
Good word. Well said. And I agree. And I think a lot of that falls on Julius Randle, but I think a lot of that falls on the fact that this team has no point guard, and he tries to do too much. He does. I mean, he tries to do too much. He gets himself in trouble. I mean, if I see him bulldoze himself into the lane and pick up his dribble and jump with no idea where he's going with the ball and turn it over one more time, I'm gonna lose my mind. But, I mean, when you look at how this team is constructed without Derrick Rose, remember when the team took off last year? Right? Remember when the team took off? It's when they got Derrick Rose and the difference that he made.
Right. They were 500 about what, like 40 games into the season, right?
Yeah, they were. I mean, right, we were talking about that halfway through this season. I mean, they were, what, a game worse this season than they were last season?
Mm-hmm.
And then they took off. So you got no Derrick Rose. Kemba, I mean, there's no consistency there because his knee doesn't allow him to have any consistency. I mean, Fournier had it going early, and then he was a non-factor, but... I mean, it's another game where you get yourself down, get yourself down 15 points, battle all the way back, and offensively you're a limited team. What frustrated me about last night is, I mean, and that Cleveland team has turned it around, but there's no marketing, there's no Jared Allen, Garland wasn't great. Of course, the only three he hits obviously was the one to put them up 94-91. But they just, how many times even Tibbs after the game. You see the toughness and the tenacity this team plays with. That's who we were last year. Where is that gone? That's controllable stuff. I don't care how much talent you have. That's something you can bring every night. Physicality, toughness, tenacity. You can bring that with you every night. I don't care how good you are. You could stink, but you could bring that every night.
Yeah.
And for some reason.
It's not there. And now, what's so concerning to me is you look at the schedule. Like, you look at the upcoming schedule. Where are the wins going to come from? You're on the outside looking in now, and it's Miami, it's Milwaukee, and then there's a big West Coast trip. Like, where are the wins going to come from? I don't envision this magically turning around with this club.
It doesn't feel like it. It doesn't. Unless you get those nights where, RJ and Julius have big nights, and you have other guys chipping in. But right now, it doesn't feel like this team is headed in that direction at all.
I mean, you had a good comeback with Randle on the side. Toppin was in for an extended period of time. Led this. I don't know that he led it, but he was involved in the comeback. And then you put Randle back in. And I'm not saying it's because of Randle that he went back in, but it's just I don't know. I'm very frustrated. It's the same thing, and it's continuous, and it never stops, and it's. I don't know how it changes, and I think that's what has me so frustrated.
Well, I think what frustrates you too about last night was, I mean, again, I talk about, work ethic and all those things you can bring regardless of how talented you are too, and last night it's free throws.
What, they missed 10?
They missed 10 free throws last night. So, I mean, that's, again, it's free throws. They're trying to give you free points, and you can't take advantage of that. I mean, that's a problem. But I know how hard, having played the game, like having played, in the NHL, just playing professional sports, like I know how hard it is on you, physically and mentally to try to consistently dig yourselves out of holes, like dig yourselves out. And you finally get yourself back. But it's just, you've spent so much energy trying to get yourself back that you don't have enough to finish. And again, last night I got frustrated just because of just all the talk about the toughness and physicality and all those things that we were last year now are gone, and I don't understand where they went. I don't.
It's frustrating.
Bothers
There's no
me.
Doubt about it. Well, speaking of frustrating, here is Tom Thibodeau. How frustrating is this loss here as the head coach of the Knicks?
Well, you got to find a way to win. You know, I didn't like our transition defense in the first half, and then I thought we fought. I thought our bench gave us a really good lift. Then we got going down the stretch, and then it came down to basically a loose ball offensive rebound that they got to turned it into a three. And that's the difference in the game. You know, there's, you know, a fine line between winning and losing, but those are fourth quarter. You got to come up with, you know, those loose balls, and then you got to remain disciplined. We can't, you know, recklessly gamble and give up threes. We got to make sure we're disciplined.
And they're not, right? They're not a disciplined team right now. They make a lot of mistakes, too many mistakes.
Which is,
they're not good enough to make mistakes like this.
No, and to take quarters off or take, I mean, but isn't that what Tibbs is? I mean, that's why you hired him, for where it was, you know, great defense, was discipline, was hard work. I mean, that's what he preaches. That's who he is. And that's not what this team is. They were that last year. They're not that this year. I mean, there was a stretch during the third quarter. It was like over 4 minutes where the Knicks scored 1 point.
Oh, they got mauled in the third quarter again.
Mauled.
The Kevin Love show, and it's like another three, and that's in, and another three, and that's in. It's like, oh, enough.
Enough is right.
But here's my concern, and I just brought it up. Knicks at the Heat on Wednesday, at the Bucks on Friday. By the way, a 10 o'clock start at Milwaukee on Friday.
That's the ESPN game, yeah.
But is someone out to poison us? Like, what is happening?
Oh, you got the Saturday show, yeah.
So I kind of have to watch the games, but now I'm up to 1 o'clock on Friday night?
Well, at least you don't have a 7 a.m. game on Saturday morning.
How about Santiago's going to fall asleep during the game on Friday night.
Well done, by the way, Santiago. I was listening to both games, Rangers and Knicks, on the way home. You did a tremendous job.
Look at Raymond.
Sounded beautiful.
And speaking of the Rangers, I mean, how about a win?
Gorgeous. Gorgeous win.
Right?
Not a great start either.
Not a great start. Didn't play a great game. Shesterkin was good. Get the late goal, and then the overtime, and then the shootout. And they were, if they don't score in the shootout, twice away from losing that game. Right? Lafreniere and what was the other one? There was another one.
Panarin,
I think.
Yep.
And then Foxy with the game winner, which I didn't even know went in because I didn't know where the puck was.
He's so good.
He's unbelievable.
Adam Fox is so good, man. I mean, you talk about a kid who's just... I try to tell my guys this, too. It's like, he's not the fastest guy. He's not the biggest guy. He's not the most skilled guy. But, I mean, his hockey IQ, how he thinks the game, how he sees the game.
You know what?
I mean, how he manipulates...
Like a infinitesimal level, though. I'm going to mention this, and you might scream at me. You might. Like Gretzky, though, where you watch him, and you're just like, there's nothing so, brilliant about him, but he's just unbelievable.
I'm telling you, man, it's how he sees the game. It's how, I mean, even on that goal, I mean, in Kreider, I mean, he's having an unbelievable season.
He really is.
First 30 goals.
Was that 30 last night?
That was 30. And, I mean, he's been unbelievable. He's got 15 power play goals. But, I mean, even if you watch Adam Fox, what he does in that play, when he makes the pass in front of the net to Kreider, is just how he manipulates the defense. Like, it's small little things. Like, he'll open up his hips, he'll open up his stick blades, which gets the defender to move his stick a certain way, and then he slides the puck where the stick was. I mean, it's just...
Can you teach that stuff, or is that just kind of... You have that?
No, I mean, you can... You're born with a lot of that, but, I mean, that's something that a lot of kids don't really focus on. They're more focused on skill development, like, you know, puck handling and how hard your shot is and skating and all those other things. And what he does is what separates him and what makes him. I mean,
he really is.
Won the Norris Trophy last year.
It's phenomenal. Is he special? By the way, did you hear what our great producer, the Don of the show, RJ Santillo, received yesterday?
Oh, I saw the picture of it. It looks delicious.
Yeah. RJ, why don't you tell the fine people what showed up at your home post-nap yesterday?
Oh, a glorious, I'm not even going to call it a fruit basket.
No, it was a candy basket.
Yeah, I would just call it a basket of delicious items. There is fruit in there, oranges and apples and a pear.
Is it an elite pear?
It was.
I am a mature fruit.
it was a nice mature fruit. An assortment of chips. Some salsa? A football?
That's right.
Salsa.
And that was the holdup. Because I'm getting asked from every, I guess the fruit basket really, you know, really turn people's attention to this. And I got asked numerous times, did you send the fruit basket? Was the fruit basket sent? Did he get the fruit basket? And I hadn't sent it because I wanted to get the football fruit basket. When I was perusing the website, they had this special football fruit basket. So I called, and they're like, oh, we're not going to have that in for a couple days. And I said, I'll wait. I'll wait till the football fruit basket is available. And I guess on Sunday it was available, got that order right in there, and boom, showed up yesterday post-nap, football fruit basket.
Just incredibly kind of you. And the best part was the little card that comes with it. She just said,
"Could you?"
From Dave and the Giants, Cowboys suck.
Oh, my goodness. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
I didn't know you were going to bring that up on air.
I had to.
For Dave and the Giants.
The king of bringing it up on air is surprised that you brought it up on
air. I'm surprised he brought that up on air.
Oh, it made me laugh out loud.
It's the best part of the gift basket. How could you? You can't keep that to yourself.
You should have heard the woman on the phone. She's like, and what would you like the card to say, Mr. Rothenberg? I said, yes, you know, to RJ, from Dave and the Giants. And she's like, oh, she's like, you're part of the Giants? I was like, that's right. she, okay, and how would you like it signed? Cowboys suck.
Oh my God.
She's like, you sure you want to put Cowboys suck on there? I was like, yep, I would like to. Yes.
That poor lady.
Why poor? How is she a poor lady?
It sounded like it was very awkward for her.
No, I think she wanted to make sure that this was what I wanted to do, but it was all planned out and this is exactly what I wanted to do.
What do you think Dave's face looked like when she said, oh, you, oh, Dave Rothman, you're with the Giants? Yes. Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Remember those old Bud Light commercials?
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
I am.
So you're Dr. Galakowicz?
Yes.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
All right. So 1-800-919-3776. Now, before we go to break, RJ, did you partake in any fruit from the fruit basket?
No actual fruit yet. Some of the more delicious items. There was candy too. There was a Twix bar in there that I ate.
It looked like you raided a hotel mini bar is what it looks
like. That's exactly what it was. An assortment of chips. I had some of those.
Was it great? Like, did you and your wife spend a few minutes discussing? Boy, this was nice.
She was very impressed. Very impressed by your actions. And when she asked exactly why, I said, the 49ers beat the Cowboys. And she said, well, how does that impact him and the Giants? I said, he just hates them.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I absolutely hate them. And that's why we, as the Giants, and I think I could speak for the entire Giants organization.
I think you have.
Sent the fruit basket on over.
You're with the Giants? Yeah, we did. We just hired Joe Shane. You didn't see that?
It's like, oh, you're with the Giants? And there's like a pause. I was like, yes. Yes, I am.
Did you see the hiring we just had? That was me. I just hired Joe Shane.
We are the Giants.
Yeah. And she was like, are you thinking Dable? I was like, listen, I can't tip our hand with that kind of stuff.
I can't comment.
We have plans.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Can I quickly give you this next 10-game run that the Knicks have?
Yeah, let's hear it.
At the Heat, at the Bucks, home to the Kings, home to the Grizzlies. At the Lakers, at the Jazz, at the Nuggets, at the Warriors, at the Blazers. Home to the Thunder. Home to the Nets. And now home to the Nets means Kyrie will play in that game, right?
Can Kyrie play at MSG?
He's a visiting player, can't he?
I need clarification on that.
I think so. And then home to the Heat, home to the Sixers.
Which again makes the rule
at
even
the Sixers.
More stupid.
At the Suns, at the Clippers, at the Kings, at the Mavs.
That feels like more than 10 games.
At the Grizzlies. Uh-oh. Yeah, because I was going until I thought it got easier, and it doesn't.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
I mean, they
are in major trouble.
Well, I mean, you just went through that list right there. I mean, how many games of, let's go to the end of that West Coast trip. So to February 12th at Portland. So of those games, how many are winnable?
Honestly. All right, so you're at the Heat. What, you want to play the win-loss game quickly?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty easy.
Let's play. At the Heat's a loss. At the Bucks is a loss. Home to the Kings needs to be a win. So you're 1-2. Home to the, you're not going to win against the Kings and the Grizzlies. So I'll say the Grizzlies is a loss, 1-3. At the Lakers, 1-4. At the Jazz, 1-5. At the Nuggets, 1-6. At the Warriors, 1-7. I'll even give them a win against the Blazers, 2-7.
Okay, so 2-7.
Am I right? I mean, what's the best case scenario of that 9-game stretch? 3-6.
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers aren't. I mean, the Lakers are a bit of a mess. Maybe you sneak one in. So maybe 3-6.
So RJ is saying he doesn't think that Kyrie can play at MSG.
See, that's what I mean. When we initially talked about it, that's what I thought.
But why?
Because it's in. I guess because he plays for a team in New York. Would be the reason.
I guess. I don't really understand.
The fact that you have to guess is exactly why the rule is so stupid.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Makes no sense.
So if you play on the Wizards and you're not vaccinated, you come to New York, you can play.
No problem, yep.
But if you play on the Nets, you can't.
Correct.
That makes zero sense.
Didn't Kyrie have, was he on protocols, was he in COVID protocols because he was a close contact, or did he actually have COVID?
You know, I don't want to speak out of turn because I'm not 100% sure, but I think he might have had it.
So, I mean, wouldn't that make him, I mean, I know in the NFL, right? Like if Aaron Rodgers, you know, tested positive, he was immunized, but he didn't have the vaccination. He got COVID. So didn't that make him for the next 90 days? Like he didn't need to be tested for the next 90 days?
Yeah, he didn't even need to be tested. Correct.
So if Kyrie did have it, why wouldn't he be eligible to play for those 90 days?
I don't know. No, honestly, none of it makes sense to me. I can't figure it out. The rules, the whole thing doesn't make sense.
No, it makes no sense.
Of when you can play, where you can play, why you're allowed to, why you're not.
Well, why should another team come in and benefit when your team, why should another team, like you mentioned, you know, Washington, why should they benefit with, you know, Bradley Beal being able to come in and play? And you're a lesser team because Kyrie can't at home.
I can't answer that.
Because it makes
zero sense.
It's utter stupidity.
So now it's like the road players can play if they're not vaccinated unless they're a New York road team, and then they can't.
Yeah, right? I guess. Yes.
I mean, who's making these rules up? And again, I think you should be vaccinated, like, right? I mean, I understand why you should be, and it makes sense to me, but... But the rules surrounding it do not, and really never will.
No. They make no sense at all.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, let's go to D in Queens. D, lead us off on this Tuesday. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
It's funny you brought up Kyrie. And by the way, Bradley Beal is vaccinated. That's the
thing. I thought he wasn't,
though. He's vaccinated now.
Okay,
no, he got vaccinated recently.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we're with you.
Okay, you should come to the realization of what the Knicks are. I've come to the realization of what the Nets are. They're going to lose in the first and second round. And I know you said that sounds crazy.
Crazy.
But look what's going on right now where Durant's hurt. I can see Steve Nash, kind of like last year, running Harden into the ground. He gets hurt by the time the playoffs come. And then you have a series where Harden and Durant are hurt. And then they go against a team like Philly or something or another team like that in the first round. And then they lose. Totally plausible situation. I mean,
I would find it to be very unlikely if the Nets were to lose in the first round.
You better hope that doesn't happen.
I guess anything's possible.
As a Nets fan, you better hope that doesn't happen.
I mean, if you can't get out of the first round, you better win the whole thing. But if you can't get out of the first round, they're going to be crushed.
Crushed? What do we? It's more than crushed. I mean, this is the team was built like all the. All the things that this franchise has done for Kyrie and Kevin Durant and going to get James Harden and everything else, I mean, they've compromised everything that they've stood for. In building this thing from the ground up, they've compromised all of that to try to win a championship. And they're all in to win a championship. If they don't get to I mean, forget, they don't get to an NBA Finals.
No, see, I don't agree with you. I think they have to win the whole thing.
No, I do too. But I'm saying he's talking about getting knocked out in the first round.
Oh, it'd be devastating.
I mean, forget that. Like, I mean, if you don't get to the NBA Finals, like, you got to get to the NBA Finals.
If they get bounced in the first round, you think it gets broken up? Like, it's over?
Well, I mean, didn't there already talk about Harden maybe leaving?
Yeah. Yeah, he might. I wouldn't be surprised by that. If they are healthy, and I see no reason why they wouldn't be, there's no way they're getting bounced in the first round.
Well, because they haven't been. Again, I mean, it's like our Giants conversation. Like, well, what do you do with this team? How does it get better? Well, you know, if Daniel Jones stays healthy and Saquon, well, they haven't. It's easy. It's nice to say that because that's what you hope. But, the history of those players will tell you that they haven't. I mean, they've had a hard time getting all three of those guys on the court at the same time for an extended period. I mean, Durant's hurt now. I mean, who knows with Kyrie? I mean, he can't play home games. And then, I mean, Harden hadn't been hurt. But, I mean, last year he was dealing with injury. So who knows?
Who knows is right. By the way, you can tell that RJ is just in a great way. Fruit baskets arrived. He's munching on chips. And now the reeds are arriving, like, before 5:30. Like, things are happening for
Santa. You got reeds already?
Yeah, that's right.
It's because he found out that you're with the Giants.
Well, he doesn't want to mess around anymore because now they're a functional organization.
So you're
with the Giants? Yes.
Bob, yeah, I just got off the phone with Dave Rothenberg. He's with the Giants. Let's really load this basket up.
Yeah. Wait, but he just got the bare bones football basket. No. It's the Giants. Load in the chips, yes. The fruits. How about bananas? Yep, get them in there.
Bananas, the elite pair. I want Twix. You name it.
Yep. But you really, I mean, he didn't pay for the Twix. Put the Twix in there, Steve.
Put the left and the right. Like, yep. I want both. The left and the right Twix.
Was it cellophaned all up, RJ?
Oh, yeah. There was a bow on it. The whole deal.
A bow?
Yeah. A blue bow. A blue ribbon.
Really?
Yeah.
It's
a
humongous basket. I saw the picture of it. It's a humongous basket.
You really threw your Giants weight around.
That's right. Yeah, I only ordered, like, the garden variety, and they sensed I was with the Giants because I told them that, and they...
It's got Fritos in it. I mean, you name it.
I may save the Fritos for Sunday.
I was hoping for a classier basket.
It's got strawberry cream snack cakes.
What are you looking at?
More.
Looking
Use at it.
The
that's
I
right.
I don't know everything that's in the basket.
It's got mini Twix in it.
Don't mock the snack cake, by the way. It's imported. International from Mexico.
Is there any cheese in there?
Yes.
There was a block of cheese.
No, multiple blocks.
Wait, was it cold? Doesn't cheese need to be kept cold?
I freed the cheese and put it right in the fridge.
Apple,
right
now, look at it. Hammer, right saw, maybe pear, maybe not. I'm not sure.
Right now I'm looking at an arrangement of a big giant block of pepper jack cheese.
Yep.
With some beef summer sausage.
Yep.
A Hershey's Mr. Good Bar.
More. Use it. That's right.
I don't understand. What are you looking at?
I'm looking at the fruit basket.
I do. How did you get this evidence?
It's in the group chat.
I see the football right there.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Now, Rick, you're not on Facebook, are you?
No.
So there's like a meme, I guess you would call it. And it says, just to show you the power that RJ has over his new beautiful bride. It says, do you wish the NFL OT rules allowed the Bills to match the Chiefs' TD drive? There's a photo of Josh Allen just staring into space as the final score says 42-36 Chiefs. And above that, his beautiful new bride, Ange, puts a little message at the top. She says, definitely so unfair for the Bills. I mean, RJ, you're poisoning this poor woman.
And below that is my sister-in-law saying, who are you and what's happened to Angela? So I think it's being noticed by the family now what I've done.
Why would you do this? This is a woman who you said a few weeks ago, she finally understands, like, the punting in football. And
you teach her what a punt is, and now all of a sudden she's
that was all
she's commenting on all sorts of NFL stuff.
Listen, she got...
You've unleashed the beast here.
Well, over quarantine, she has nowhere to go. I mean, quarantine's not what it was at the start of the pandemic. But on Sundays and things and Thursdays and Mondays, she has nowhere to go. So football's on and it's just out there happening. So at some point, she decided, you know what? I'm going to turn into the tailspin. I'm gonna start to understand what this is. And I got to say, over this playoff run, it's gone to a new level. She's asking detailed questions.
Like what? What was the one question she asked? You're like, wow. She gets it.
I would say, Ed, things like when change of possession, why is the clock not running? The ball did not hit the ground or go out of bounds. The player did not go out of bounds. The ball did not hit the ground. Why is the clock stopped?
So she didn't understand change of possession. It's an automatic clock stoppage.
Things like that, yes.
Uh-huh. So it's fair to say we're still at the infancy stages of her football.
Yes, early on, but the questions have gone up a notch.
Now, at what point does she start to become raving?
I don't know if we ever get to raving. It's a high ceiling. But the care level's gone up, and I think that's all you can ask if you're
like if she started to just watch the games and like show signs of lunacy, like
paint her face
we do on the show.
Well, I'll tell you what's got her into it, and I would suggest it to anyone trying to get their significant other into sports. She connects teams to people. Like
Giants, I do that too.
Like Giants are Dave, Cowboys are Ray, Jets are Rick. So she's like, oh, it's Dave versus Ray in this game. You know what I mean? So she knows what happens as a result.
RJ, I'm hoping you don't speak to her like that, though, when you speak football, I hope.
No, I don't.
Dallas is Ray.
No,
Dallas
I don't know.
Is Dave.
Like she's a child.
No, you know what my
All right, Ange, Cowboys equals Ray.
This is
Ray is the technical producer of the show, DiPietro and Rothenberg.
No, I do no mansplaining. I let her, if she has questions, she can ask. If we sit there in silence, that's the way it goes sometimes.
Where is the line that she loves football so much and you're like, wait, can you dial it back a little bit?
I would say if I got home from work or something and she's, you know, asking if we need to be playing nickel more than base defense or something like that. Like, you know what? I don't know if I need
Was
that.
She confounded at why DeAndre Baker was going into the game the other night?
Yeah, she had a lot of questions about that.
Did you say like DeAndre Baker, former Giant, is Dave?
Who Dave hates, that guy.
Yeah. Well, I get to watch Janoris Jenkins. I get to watch Eli Apple, DeAndre Baker. You name him.
It's your buddy.
Yeah.
Dave Gettleman, you look alike.
Stop it. Don't be nasty.
RJ, I'm really happy for you. You got the celebratory fruit / mini bar basket. Your wife is fully committed to football now. Your Niners or in the NFC Championship game. I mean, who's better than you right now?
It really doesn't get better. So let's look at the life that you lead now. You get married. The football season is underway. Your wife now falls in love with the game of football.
Oh, but hold on. They went to Hawaii on their honeymoon.
Yeah, they did. Stayed at the beautiful Alani, right? A Disney property, which was apparently sensational. Come back. Produces this fine show. We have successful ratings, which I think a lot of it goes right on your shoulders, RJ. Your wife goes from not understanding what the 2-minute warning is to loving the game of football. Oh, and by the way, your team is now in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, I was on a Zoom call, FaceTime with some buddies of mine. They were complaining about their jobs and things, and there was like that silence where I would interject, and I just said, I'm sorry to say this. I can't really relate to any of you. Things are pretty good right now.
Wow.
You have nothing. I mean, Santiago has slept a grand total of 90 minutes in the last week. Right, Rick is driving. And by the way, someone needs to lose their job. Why are they scheduling games for you in Albany? Midweek Albany games. This guy's driving seven hours combined to play a game in which they're down 5-0.
And there was a Dunkachino spillage, too.
Oh, yeah, all over the place.
What do you mean?
Jacket.
Tell me that you walked into the arena with like a coffee stain all over yourself.
Good thing the new jacket is moisture wicking. So,
look at what has happened.
I dumped my mochaccino, my dunkaccino all over my chest on the way into the
room. By the way, are people just like the worst? So, Pito tweets
Bill
at Rothenberg ESPN. He actually hates you, RJ. All that food is unhealthy.
Wow.
I mean, you can't win.
Well, some would say that you're trying to kill RJ with the strawberry cream filled cakes and summer sausage and giant blocks of cheese.
And now look at this obese man that's going to sit in the chair.
It's a good point. There's a lot of cholesterol in that bag.
Cheetos.
I mean, do you think that if anyone on the show right now, RJ has high cholesterol?
No.
No.
Those were huge, fat people.
The guy weighs like 134 pounds.
There's nothing high about RJ.
His cholesterol is probably minuscule. I don't think this is a concern.
Yeah, but I'm not finely tuned like Rick. Rick, you know, has coffee and a piece of celery every day, so.
Your cholesterol must be coffee. Like 112.
I wish I had the coffee.
Yeah, it's just celery yesterday. In Albany.
So you
got to go to Pennsylvania on Monday.
What?
After the show. Yeah, I got Pennsylvania on Monday.
Next Monday?
Yeah, Monday I have Pennsylvania. I have hockey. I have Islanders Kings on Thursday in Bristol.
Islanders Kings Thursday. Then Monday you have to get into a car and drive to Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania, yeah.
Who sets your schedule?
I don't.
It's not you.
No, it's definitely not me. We have to alternate.
But in all sincerity, we'll get to the calls in a second. 1-800-919-3776. Why in the world would they be scheduling games in Albany and Pennsylvania?
Because that's where those teams play in our – I mean, that's in our league.
Who sets up a league where you have teams that are 3-4 hours away?
I can't answer that question. Not me. This is what I got myself into.
This is unbelievable. Get me on the phone
Houston
with
State.
get me on the phone with someone.
Do you want us to hire you?
No, I'll tell you what. You hire me. You're not traveling to Albany.
He's not available. He works for the Giants.
I'm looking at it right now. It's a 3-hour. That's another solid 3-hour drive on Monday.
Next Monday,
3 hours.
And the great thing about it is it's Monday. So now your entire week is just ruined.
Yes.
Because now you're exhausted.
Yeah. Oh, and you got the conference championship games on Sunday. Yeah, it'll be fresh as a daisy.
What are we, 3 and 6:30 on Sunday? Is that right?
Oh, yes.
Which game is first? The AFC?
AFC.
AFC first. Yeah.
I have concerns about that game.
Well, how can you have concerns? You have no rooting interest in it.
No. I'm not worried about who wins.
About the spread of that game?
I'm concerned it's not a competitive game.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Because Cincinnati's offensive line isn't very good?
Well, I just think that Kansas City is at a different level than Cincinnati.
Something about Joe Burrow, though, man. Something about Joe Burrow.
And we got to get this one right, by the way, against the K-Show.
Yeah, thanks.
Well,
just get the punt off. Just get the punt off. We have a game lead. Just get the punt off.
If he gets the punt off, we're in complete control.
Complete control.
But no.
No, we can't. God forbid our special teams is halfway decent.
Look at this, Henke Haynes. That basket looks like a bunch of stuff Dave just grabbed off the shelf at a bodega.
People
are unbelievable.
Why is Henke Haynes? Why does everyone see the basket? Did you tweet the basket?
RJ tweeted the basket.
Oh. Why is Henke Haynes coming at you so hard lately?
I don't understand. Like how could someone send a friend a fruit basket and it gets knocked as, look at this guy, what an animal he is for sending it. Like, what is wrong with people?
I mean, you went above and beyond. You waited a couple extra days just so you could get the football basket.
I wanted to make sure the football was involved. I thought that would be a cute touch.
Mini Halloween candy in there.
It has everything you could possibly want. I spent a lot of time thinking about what was going to go on the card, and now I'm getting this nastiness from people.
I mean, it really is. It's an eclectic basket. It really is. But it has everything and anything you could imagine. Like, oh, hey, you know, I'll start off with maybe some of the summer sausage and some cheese. Oh, I'm a little bit full. Hey, let's go throw the football around. You come back. Oh, man, I need some energy. How about one of these delicious strawberry cream milk cakes?
it has everything you're looking for. Now, RJ confirms that this is the man's name who's on line two. TLH Sounds from Jersey. Good morning, T. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. I love your show.
Thank you.
I'm watching the Tom Thibodeau press conference. I'm starting to get that Joe Judge effect.
No.
Let's not go crazy.
You know, it's like Burks wasn't giving you anything. Fournier wasn't giving you anything. Why we can't see Cam Reddish come in? Give us something. Is he going to treat him like Knox? Will we barely see this guy when he's supposed to be all talented?
No, I think Cam Reddish will actually play. Cam Reddish just got here, man.
Yeah, but he played the other night. So. You can't get Cam Reddish into the game last night?
Well, here's the thing, though.
Really?
Let me just try to explain something to you guys for a second. It's not as easy as we make it. Where it's like you can just make these moves. Like you're sitting home watching the game and you're saying to yourself, you know, why is Cam Reddish not playing? Why is Miles, you know, why is Deuce not playing? There's a fine line that you walk as a coach where you also have to be loyal to the guys that got you there too. I mean, that's part of it. It's not so simple as like you sit down, you come out. Like Like Cam Reddish has to learn the system. I mean, you got to build up some trust. There's a lot more that goes into it than just simply making the decision. How you treat the veteran guys is different than, you know, how you treat the younger guys. I mean, it's not that easy. They're human beings, man. They have, I mean, they have feelings too. Like that go. I mean, that's also.
I get it. You just acquired the guy. You have high expectations for him, and he can't get into a game.
No, I get what you're saying, but you don't want the other guys to quit on you. You don't want the other guys to quit on you too, though, Dave. You need everybody. Like you want Cam Reddish to come in there, and you want him to earn it. You want him to earn his minutes. That's the whole thing as a coach. Everyone needs to earn their playing time. So now, again, it's like, remember we talked about the whole Kemba Walker thing when he becomes, you know, he comes out of the rotation, and I said, yes, as a coach, the way he handles it is, I mean, that's exactly what you would want as a coach. A guy, you know, who's done what Kemba's done in this league. You know, he's a veteran guy. He comes in, you know, played well early, but then things went sideways, couldn't play defense. You sat him down, and he handled it like a pro. So now, as a coach, all that does is empower me. If I can sit down Kemba and he acts that way, I can sit down anyone else on the team. And if they act up, I point to Kemba. Well, I mean, look at what Kemba's achieved in this league. And he's handling it this way. He's the perfect example of how you should handle it. We make it so easy. It's not that easy. It isn't.
I listen, you're probably right, but just from you know, from our ivory tower, it's confounding of why it's all, Cam Reddish can't get into the game last night.
No, listen, I don't 100% disagree with you, but I mean, one of the biggest challenges as a coach is handling all these different personalities on the team and how they react to certain things. You know, if I sit this guy down, is he going to quit on me? Because I might need him later. Like, all those things go into these decisions. And I think a lot of Tibbs, and it frustrates me too sometimes, is he's probably overly loyal sometimes. And you really, I mean, it takes a lot to actually earn his trust before he puts you out there in big spots.
Correct. Now, here's what I would say. I'm just looking at the numbers. These are really strong numbers. So Obi Toppin only plays 15 minutes. Do you know what his plus minus was last night?
Yeah, he was good.
He was plus 20.
And he shot well.
He hit a three, right?
A couple threes.
Yeah, he might have hit two or three threes.
No, he scored 13. He was 2 for 2 from three in the first half.
Yeah, and I think he hit another one in the second half. So my point is, maybe down the stretch last night, Obi Toppin closes the game over Julius Randle.
Yeah, but again, that speaks to my point. You know, sometimes he's overly loyal to his guys.
Do you think Julius Randle played well last night?
I don't think he was great, no.
No, he was 6-17. He was minus 22. I don't think he was great. I'm not saying that Julius Randle shouldn't be the main cog of this team. But when you're down, what were they down, like 15?
15, yeah.
And you come roaring back, and you take the lead. And Toppin is a big part of that. Finish the game with the kid.
Here's the thing, though. Again, I think you oversimplify it. I get what you're saying, and he was playing well. But you also have to understand, like him in that spot is not what Julius Randle gives you. Even when Julius Randle doesn't play well, I mean, Julius Randle does make it easier for the other four guys on the floor because of the amount of attention he draws. That Obi Toppin he's not the focal
He's limited.
Point of
you're
the
right.
Offense.
You're right. But I mean, if you're going to give me a plus 20 and 13 points in 15 minutes, what do you have to do to get 25 minutes of playing time?
Well, I mean, yet again, not have Julius Randle.
So that's it. So there's just a glut in front of you, and now you're not going to play.
Well, listen, here's the thing. I don't necessarily disagree with you, and I told you this the other day. Watching Obi, especially with the bench unit and how they use him offensively, I don't like. You drafted the kid because, you know, he was an older kid that was more developed. You like, I mean, especially offensively, and you don't use him. You don't use him in spots where, you know, he's going to have the most success. Like, the things that he does well, you don't use him to do those things. And maybe that's because you don't have you really don't have a point guard. Like, I think he has, I mean, natural chemistry with, when Derrick Rose is in the lineup, I think he's got chemistry with Derrick Rose because you can actually run a pick and roll with him when Derrick Rose. Like, him sitting in the corner is not where he's going to flourish. And last night he actually did. He shot well. But, I mean, this is the clunkiness of this team right now. Everyone
Very
wants
clunky.
To see Obi, but if you're not going to commit to going small, then Obi's not going to play over Julius Randle.
I guess my point is, doesn't something have to change? Like, you're not playing well. You're losing game after game. Things are struggling. You have a massive 9, 12, 14-game run coming up. Like, I don't know. I would think something has to change. And
well,
if not, I think
again,
you're going to see a lot more of this.
All right, here's the thing, though. Because, and you said it, and the caller kind of said it. But I actually wrote it down watching the game last night. Is Obi hits a three to cut the lead to four, and then you take him out. He was playing well.
Right, that's my point. Is
he makes a three, he cuts it 86-82, and then you take him out for Julius Randle. Because of what Julius
Randle...
Because
that's what you do.
Because Julius Randle's his guy. How is Julius Randle going to react? That's the other thing, man. I'm telling you.
So now I have to worry about babying Julius Randle, because at any point, he could lose his composure.
No, you treat... You know, there's always... Remember what Jimmy Johnson said when he got rid of that... The guy fell asleep in the meeting, mm-hmm. and he cut him. And someone asked him, what would happen if that was Troy Aikman that fell asleep? He said, yeah, I would walk to the back of the room and politely wake him up and tell him to pay attention.
Of course, different players have different rules.
All right, so he's going to have to treat Julius Randle differently. Everyone gets treated fair, but no one gets treated the same. Like, there are certain, I mean, because of what he did last year and the contract that he signed, he gets treated a little bit differently. He gets more of a leash. I'm not saying that's necessarily right, especially with what this team looks like right now, and some of the stuff that he's doing this season reminds me of, you know, a couple seasons ago when we were ready to, you know, get rid of him immediately. Because it is. It's frustrating to watch. Like, he tries to do too much. Way too much.
Yeah, it is. It's very frustrating. Keep it locked here for your chance to win the ultimate box pool at 98.7 ESPN Super Duper Box Bonanza presented by FanDuel. Qualify to win credit to bet with FanDuel and access to our exclusive invite-only virtual big game preview with Chris Canty, Peter Rosenberg, and Chris Carlin. Plus, choose your super box for a chance at incredible prizes like an Apple Watch, a VR headset, and much, much more. All brought to you by FanDuel and 98.7 ESPN. See, there's one nice person out there. Shady Apple II. Handsome fruit basket there. Very well done, Rothenberg ESPN.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. If you're Tibbs and you mm-hmm. know, I mean, you know, everyone knows what the expectations for the team were this season. And you said, you know, Julius is playing bad. Let's roll with Obi. And that for some reason, because he seems like, you know, things affect Julius. Is Julius quits on you, knowing how important he is to your team's success. Do you think that's in the best interest of this team trying to win games moving forward? If
no.
he loses,
long,
if he loses
long, long
Julius.
Long term, I do not. For the micro and the one game last night, I think yes. But I guess I guess he's looking big picture. And if I don't get him back in there with 5 minutes to play, do I lose him? Is there a problem here?
Well, you saw what the deal was. Now, listen, Julius Randle has not achieved anywhere close to what Russell Westbrook achieved. But you saw what the big deal was when Russell Westbrook sat out, when they put him on the bench to finish that game, and what a big deal that was.
Yeah, it is a big deal, and it was a big deal. So, by the way, do you remember you and Chris clamoring for Russell Westbrook?
Well, listen, Russell Westbrook and LeBron on the floor together don't mesh.
But remember when you were arguing that the Knicks had to bring in Russell Westbrook?
I think the Knicks right now with Russell Westbrook would be a much better team.
They might be.
You don't need him. I mean, they're asking him to shoot in L.A.
Ugh, and he can't shoot.
Well, no, he can't play off the ball. Wouldn't you love to have him?
Basket.
Listen, as bad as he's been, like, I would much rather him with the ball in his hands than Julius Randle with the ball in his hands. Let's be honest.
Neither is going to wind up winning you a million games.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.